Coming up, it's the new Nexus 6P, a Microsoft notebook, and a dock for the few, the proud, the slim port. You gotta watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Before You Buy is brought to you by iFixit. You can fix it, and iFixit makes it easy with free step-by-step repair guides, high-quality replacement parts, and all the tools you'll ever need. For $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, go to iFixit.com/twit and enter the code Before You Buy at checkout. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/beforeyoubuy. Hey, and welcome to Before You Buy. It's Twit's product review show where we take the latest and greatest gadgets and gizmos that we get here into the Twit Brick House in Petaluma, California, and we give them to the people who can give you the most honest reviews possible. Now, you know that we love ourselves our smartphones here on Before You Buy, so we decided to give one of the newest, the Nexus 6P, to our very own Jason Howell, our Android expert, and we asked him to give us an honest review. Does it measure up to what we expect from the Nexus?
Hey, what's up? I'm Jason Howell, and I've had a pretty awesome week and a half or so with one of the newest, awesomest Nexus devices, the Huawei Nexus 6P. I had a feeling I was going to enjoy this device. I didn't realize how much I was going to enjoy it. It's been a lot of fun playing around with this device. Huawei is kind of ramping things up, it seems like. Huawei is a Chinese company, and they've had devices in the U.S. over time, you know, sold, unlocked through their site, not really as much in carrier stores. This is their first Nexus device, and I think it's kind of a signal that we're going to see a lot more of Huawei over the coming years. There are three models of the Nexus 6P that you can get. The P, by the way, stands for premium, just so you know. 32 gig model for $499. This right here is the 64 gig model. It's also the model that I purchased for myself. That's $549. And then there's a 128 gig version for $649 if you know that you need a lot of onboard storage. It has a 5.7 inch QHD display that's running at 1440 by 2560 resolution. It's an AMOLED display. And so the colors, you know, the imagery, everything on here is sharp and crisp, bright in sunlight, all that kind of stuff, at 518 pixels per inch. Probably more than you'll ever need on a phone, to be honest, but hey, it looks really nice. It's running a Snapdragon 810 processor. This is the processor that's known to run a little hot, though I didn't really discover that with the 6P other than when I was first setting it up and it was downloading and installing all of the apps that I have installed on my device, of which I have a lot. 3 gigs of RAM, which I think is totally ample right now. 12.3 megapixel rear-facing camera up here. And I'm going to go into detail on that, but let's just say it's an excellent camera. It has laser autofocus, a dual LED flash. It's capable of 4K video, as well as 240 frames per second slow motion, which can get you into trouble because it's just that much fun. 8 megapixel front-facing camera up there, also no slouch. There is no micro SD card slot, so you really want to think when you're buying this which size configuration you want right off the top. If you think you're going to need a lot of storage, pony up, get the 128 gig version. I feel like personally 64 gigs is sufficient for my needs. Also on the back here is this little circular thing. That's the Nexus imprint, also known as the fingerprint sensor. And this, you know, can turn it on from being off. I'll try and illustrate this. So all I'm doing is tapping my finger on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. There we go. And it comes right on. And it wakes up from a screen off state. Underneath here, the new standard USB-C. And you can see right here, this is the included cable. This basically means that it can go in either direction, unlike other forms of USB. It's just going to slide right in there no matter how you do it. And it also has some other perks like fast charge. And then finally, a non-removable 3450 milliamp hour battery underneath. Non-removable, but that's a pretty large battery, and I think battery is pretty great on this device. I will kind of mention right off the top, my first review unit that I received had a little bit of an issue. Every time I would reboot it, I'd get a big, you know, scary exclamation point saying that there was a critical error with the device. It turned out I had a defective unit. There was something something wrong that was triggering this warning at the boot up, and I think it has something to do with the e-fuse. And basically the e-fuse is it's a one-time fuse that's triggered if something with a bootloader has been changed, unlocked. And I'm not sure why that device was triggering that e-fuse, but it was. So just upfront, that was the case. I don't think it's going to be an issue with all of the devices, but Google was nice enough to send me a replacement unit, and I've had no such problems since I got this. So let's get right into it. The design, as you can see, it's an anodized aluminum body, pretty much surrounding the entire device, save for a few different spots. Up here is a little window. It's a plastic window that houses the camera and all the mechanical parts of the camera, the laser autofocus, all that kind of stuff, and some of the antennas. You also notice down here, this may look like aluminum on the video, but it's actually another kind of a plastic bay. More so, I think, to let the antennas actually shine through, because it's really hard for that stuff to get through actual metal. It has a narrower body than my previous phone, the Nexus 6, which I thought was just a little too wide. This is definitely a little narrower and makes it a little easier for one-handed use, which I found really nice. It is a tiny bit taller, though, but I really didn't find that to be much of an issue. Power and volume rockers on the side here. The power button specifically has a little bit of an added texture, which feels kind of nice. These are metal buttons, and they feel very sturdy, and they're very easy to use. Stereo front-facing speakers here that I have to say sound great. The stereo in my car is broken right now, so I'm actually using these speakers a lot. Now, my Nexus 6 sound would kind of distort if I turned it up all the way. Here, I'm not getting that distortion. I feel like it's a lot cleaner, and it sounds really good. There is a notification light up here. You have to actually go into the settings to turn it on if you want to see it, but it is on the device, and I find that very useful. I will say that the haptic response of this device is a little weak. If it's in my pocket, let's say, and I get a notification or a call comes through, there were a couple of times where the haptic vibration wasn't enough for me to realize that it was going off, and that's kind of a bummer. But it feels really nice when you're doing things like typing or whatever, and you're getting that kind of kick while you're doing those sorts of things on the screen. I will also note that iFixit actually just posted their repairability review of the 6P. They give it a 2 out of 10 for repairability, which is, yeah, not very good. Everything's just kind of so sealed and in some cases glued together that repairing components after the fact is going to be an issue. So keep that in mind. You might want to pony up for the Nexus Protect plan when you buy this from the Google Play Store. That's $89 for 2 years of coverage. And then if you need to replace the device within that 2 years, it's just $79 to do that. So let's talk a little bit about the camera, which I think is one of the big selling points on the 6P. Finally, we have a Nexus device that has an excellent camera that can go toe-to-toe with some of the best cameras on the market today, including the iPhone's camera, which is notorious for being one of the best, if not the best, in mobile. There is a updated camera app, stock camera app, and it can do some really cool things. The camera itself is capable of shooting RAW, but unfortunately, this camera app does not do that. But you can find plenty of third-party apps that'll do that kind of stuff for you. You know, I've included a number of pictures to kind of cycle through and everything, and there's just a lot of detail in all the images. You can really kind of zoom in on certain elements and see a lot of sharp details. Things don't really break up even when you get super close on it, and that's really nice to see. HDR is here, and it's actually set. There's an auto mode for HDR, so it can determine. You can see it right up there with that A and HDR plus. So it'll determine when HDR is useful, and you just get a lot more kind of evenly distributed light in your photos as a result. There is slow motion capability here, 240 frames per second. I'll go ahead and embarrass myself maybe a little bit here and show that This is what I look like when I'm moving my face back and forth in slow-mo. Hey, it's almost Halloween, so that kind of makes sense. And then I think one of the big, big bonuses here is that low-light performance is just top-notch. And let's see here. Yeah, this was shot. Man, this was shot really late at night. I mean, there was hardly any light in the sky, even though you're seeing it here. And if I get in on those leaves on the tree, you see just kind of like the light and the detail bouncing off the leaves. There was not much light here, yet it was still able to do this. I've been really impressed by the low light performance. There was my dinner. It was delicious, by the way. So there you go. Camera, huge, huge advantage over previous Nexus devices and one of the best on Android, absolutely, without question. Same goes for the front-facing camera. I was really happy with that. And video shot on the device looks good. Although I would say that optical image stabilization, which is missing here, is missed. You get a little bit of motion blur, a little bit of rockiness when you're watching video and some, you know, some fast movement in photos and stuff. But more or less, I'd say, you know, they sacrificed in probably the right ways, and I'm happy with what I saw. As for performance with the Nexus 6P, the mobile antenna I've found actually to be stronger than the Nexus 6. In places that I go all the time, I would have issues connecting to mobile on my Nexus 6. Well, guess what? With the 6P, I didn't have those issues anymore, so that was a really welcome discovery. Always on support for Google Now, so I'll show this off here. Turn the screen off. Okay, Google. And it comes right on. You can do that from screen off. Not all devices are capable of doing that. The Nexus 6P is. And hey, if you don't know what I'm saying out loud, you can see Google Now's transcription of what I'm saying. Nice bonus, I suppose. And everything just feels nice and performant and super snappy. Just kind of, you know, going through the OS. It never really felt like anything was slowing me down and, you know, managing my multitasking and everything. It was just a breeze. So I'm very happy with how it performs. Now, the battery is another big deal here. It's a nice size, chunky battery. And I would say pretty much my days are pretty easy to map out. 6 a.m., I take it off the charger. I put it back on somewhere around midnight. And that's just the way it was. And I'm pretty much every day, I was putting it back in the charger. It had 30% remaining. And I use my phone a pretty good bit here at Twit. So hey, I think that works for me. Everybody uses their device differently, so your mileage is definitely going to vary as far as how much you use your device and how that's going to affect your battery. I felt like I felt like it went above and beyond my expectations for a device, and I'm very happy with that. Syncing a ton of accounts, plenty of navigation, all that kind of stuff. And regardless, it has fast charge, right? Through USB-C, so I think you can get up to 8 hours of juice in 15 minutes of fast charge. And that's pretty impressive. So, you know, get one for your car when you're doing little jaunts, and you're going to get usable, sizable increases as a result of that. And by the way, you can actually use this device to charge another device. That's how awesome the battery is. You just plug the USB-C cable in one end. There's a cable provided also for plugging the other end into any phone through a normal USB connector. But I, you know, can do it here with the Nexus 5X, the other Nexus device. And you'll see that, hey, what do you know? There's a little charging indicator up there. I'm actually sending battery from the 6P over to the 5X. And that's a cool extra feature. Now, real quick here, software. This is running Marshmallow right out of the box. Marshmallow is the most recent version of Android with some very significant, I think, updates. Doze, which is extending standby. So Doze essentially means if I set my phone down and the sensors inside the phone detect that I have not picked it up and I'm not using it for, you know, a certain amount of time, let's say an hour or two, it will ramp down how it's syncing in the background, saving your battery. So you could literally leave it unplugged like this overnight, wake up the next day, and you've maybe lost a percent of battery. That's significant, in my opinion. Google Now on Tap, which is a way to scan the contents of a screen. Let's not do that video, but if I hold down my home button, it'll go ahead and scan the screen, and then it'll give me contextually, based on what it sees, some things like here, Amsterdam was probably mentioned in a post, a video, that sort of stuff, and I can go right there through that. So Google Now continues to get awesome. One of the huge advantages of Nexus devices, buying Nexus, is updates, right? Everybody criticizes Android because updates are so difficult across large swaths of random devices across, you know, in the ecosystem. Nexus devices are always, pretty much always, the first ones to get any updates whatsoever, including monthly security updates. So if you get the 6P, you're guaranteed to have the most recent version of the OS for at least 2 years beyond your purchase, and you're going to get regular security updates every single month to keep it secure. That's pretty awesome. All right, so that's a lot of words about the Nexus 6P. Let's get into the pros of this device. It's just a solid premium design that I really love it. Nearly perfect camera. The display is sharp, crisp, and there's just little to complain about on the display. It has an excellent fingerprint sensor that is very responsive and, you know, extra secure. And the battery, I felt like the battery performed really well, and it has fast charge to boot. Now the cons: there is no wireless charging. So if you got used to wireless charging, say bye-bye. You're not going to get it here. No optical image stabilization in the camera, so you might get a little bit of bumpiness here and there. And no micro SD card slot for expanding storage, nor is there a removable battery. So you can't, you know, pop it out of there and put in another one. But I think the battery is sufficient enough, so I think you're probably going to be okay. So then, if you haven't guessed by now, I would have to say that my verdict with the Nexus 6P is a big, fat buy. It's without a doubt one of the best Android devices on the market right now. It checks pretty much all the boxes, and that kind of gives me goosebumps just saying that, because finally we have a device that does, and it happens to be Nexus, so that's even better. You can always catch my reviews on All About Android, as well as here on Before You Buy. Thank you for watching my review of the Nexus 6P.
There you have it. It's a buy for the Nexus flagship. If you are looking for the latest and the greatest in the devices that are the first to get the updates from Google, you're going to want to check it out. We thank Jason Howell. Of course, you can find him here on the Twit Network every Tuesday for All About Android, and on Wednesdays for the Android App Arena. Now, coming up next, we wanted to get out of the studio. We're in here a whole lot, so we took a small crew over to San Francisco to take a look at the Holiday Spectacular, some of the devices that will be making their way over to Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, in January. So, without further ado, hey Brian, let's go ahead and take a look at some Martians. I'm Father Robert Ballester here at the Holiday Spectacular in San Francisco, taking a look at the Martian. No, not the movie, no, not the book, but the new line of watches. I'm standing next to Tabitha, who's going to explain what the Martian is all about. Now, Tabitha, there are a lot of smart watches on the market right now. What do you think sets the Martian line aside from everything else?
Well, the first and most obvious thing is the analog quartz watch design, where a lot of people that, especially that are fashion conscious, really want the look of a traditional watch, but they still don't want to miss anything, whether it be an email, a call, a notification from Facebook, something like that. We don't want to miss anything. We live in that day and age where everything is important, and we all carry around these huge phones that you don't want to take out of your pocket or bag 100 times a day. So it makes more sense to say, oh, I'm getting a notification. It's an email. I'll deal with that later. Or this notification is a call from my mom. I can answer it quickly, tell her I'm on my way home, hang up, and then go about my day.
We're starting to see this trend more and more in the smartwatch realm. The first generation was really, well, it was a touch device in the shape of a watch. But more and more, discerning customers want an actual watch, a timepiece that actually could stand up on its own as far as style and design is concerned. So the question has always been, how do you integrate smartwatch functions into a design that they want? Tell me, what are the distinctive pieces of function and feature and style on the Martian watches?
Martian is taking a bit of a contrarian point of view, like you've mentioned. We already have a $600 or $700 phone that we're carrying around. We didn't feel the need to duplicate what the phone already does. We just want to make a fashionable, nice-looking timepiece that will still keep you connected to your phone, even though you don't have it right in your hand.
Okay, let's go down the feature list. What will I be able to access? What can I communicate with one of your watches?
Any notification that comes to your phone will be pushed to the watch. You can filter out notifications that you don't want to come to your watch. Let's say Facebook isn't what you want to be bothered with during your workday. You can filter that out completely, or you can set specific vibration patterns for each notification. So you know just by the feeling of it coming in, that's an email, that's a call, that's a text. So you don't have to worry about being bothered with things you don't want to be bothered with. If, say, we're doing something important like this, versus every 2 seconds looking at your watch.
Okay, Tabitha, the big question, pricing and availability. If they're looking to get one of these or just try it out, where can they go? How much is it going to cost them? And when can they pick one up?
Okay, this new active line is available now at martianwatches.com from $249 to $299, depending on the style you choose. And several of the styles are also available at Bloomingdale's in the men's section.
Tabitha, thank you very much for speaking with us, and thank you very much for showing us a new concept for smartwatches. If you want a smartwatch that isn't really a smartwatch, you got to check out Martian, because, well, they're out of this world. Now, Cranky Hippo says that my puns are annoying, but, well, that's exactly why I'm going to keep doing them. We do want to switch gears just a tiny bit. We've shown you a phone. We've now shown you a watch. We want to show you a little special something-something. I was at Microsoft Device Night not too long ago, and they were showing off their new band. Thankfully, we've got Megan Maroney with her very own for a special unboxing. Oh, wait, no, it's not Megan Maroney. Oh, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. She's the only one who can help me unbox. It's Princess Leia. Thank you very much for coming on to Before You Buy.
We both have our costumes on today,
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm a naughty priest.
And Padre, before we start, I just wanted to say I love you. I know. You're supposed to say I know.
I know.
I know. Get it?
I get it. Okay. Now that we've geeking out over Star Wars,
okay.
This actually is the new hotness.
It is, yeah. We tried to get a review unit from Microsoft. They put us on the waiting list. Mm-hmm. I said I can't wait. I ordered one,
we
got it. So this is the Microsoft Band. And I've never had one. All I've had is the Apple Watch so far. Alex has the Band 1. This is the Band 2. And I'm really excited to unbox it.
Now, I will say, I have a lot of friends who got the Band. They liked it for the promise. Some of them were, actually a lot of them were complaining about the build quality. They said, you know, they would break often. They didn't quite work all the time. Supposedly, they fixed that in this new version.
Yeah, it's supposed to fit better. It's supposed to look a little bit better. Yeah, as far as, like, have people complained that when they exercise, it's not accurate? Have you heard complaints about that?
No, not yet. No, really.
Because Alex uses it when he exercises, but he doesn't really exercise, so it's hard to...
mine is always very inaccurate. Mine says I never exercise.
Yeah, Yeah.
So let's crack it open. Let's see what's
crack it open. So, yeah, it's... I've never done an unboxing.
Ooh,
so there it is.
Okay. They got the whole chiclet style going on
here.
Yeah.
And I guess if it were charged, we could turn it on there, but it appears not to be charged.
Okay, well, most of these devices should have at least a little bit of charge in the box, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the fun. So this comes completely dead.
Yeah, that is.
All right, we can't show... that's an unboxing.
So, yeah, it comes with the cord. I guess it's like a standard USB cord to charge.
Is it going to have that same sort of docking station in order to charge it up? So this is what, inductive charging from the back?
We'll see.
Now, you have experience with
the Apple Watch. Yeah, so I have the Apple Watch, and that's what I use. And this is Alex's Band 1.
There we go.
And so this is the Band 2.
That's a good comparison, actually. You see,
and his is a little. He uses a screen protector because it doesn't have the Gorilla Glass.
I do like this. So this was a flat surface. That was one of the biggest complaints of the Band. It just didn't fit right. It didn't look right. This, as you could tell, it's curved. So it's designed to fit the contour of your arm. So on the design side, that's a plus. It's using the same sort of silicone grommet thing material for the Band. Which is good for workouts. It means that it's not going to wear down so quickly. And the charger, what is it? Hey, Alex, how does this thing work? Does it have a charge band at the bottom?
Pop it.
Oh, like this? Does it just... it's magnetic. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, that's how the Apple Watch works, similarly to that.
What am I supposed to be able to do with this? So once I do get this thing charged up, once it does have a little bit of power going through it, does it do everything that the band does, or did they add any features?
Well, you're supposed to be able to know when you're outside, so it'll remind you to put on sunscreen, which is helpful. I traditionally okay. forget that. It's got an accelerometer in there, I guess, so you can like take hikes and know, or do stairs, so you know how, not just like how many steps, but how high you've gone, that kind of thing. So,
is this supposed to be giving me an indicator that it's charging here?
Maybe I have to pull that thing out.
I need an expert. Alex, I need an adult.
I am going to give you my full review. I'm going to come back and give you a full review after I use it. But
is that it popped? It vibrated. So it's alive.
I guess yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of whatever.
So I guess
this
is. Now, then you set it up.
Here, I'll give that back to you.
Okay.
So it gives me notifications. It of course it's an exercise band. So this is much more in the line of a Fitbit than it is, say, an Apple Watch. It's not going to give you the same.
It will give you notifications for phone calls or text messages or emails. So you get notifications. You can't use it to make phone calls like you can with the Apple Watch.
Right. And unlike the Apple Watch, though, this will work on multiple devices. So this is not just a Windows phone. This will work Windows phone. This will work iPhone. This will work Android.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what else have you heard? What's the scuttlebutt on this?
I think some people are saying it's not that much better. It's $250, so some people are saying it's not necessarily $50 better. But that's, you know, people haven't had it for that long. Today was the day that was released. Some people got review units last week, so I don't think people have used it for a long period of time enough to say. But I'm excited about it. I mean, it looks like it's going to be comfortable and smooth and stylish.
You know, I think that's what people are looking for. You can't make an Apple Watch competitor. You can't make a Moto 360 competitor. If you want to set yourself apart in this field, you have to make something that's designed to be different. It can't just be, let me throw as many functions as I can and as large a screen as I can.
Yeah.
Because then it just gets lost in the noise.
Right. Well, also, the thing you can't do with an Apple Watch is sleep tracking, because you have to charge it at night. So unless you charge it all day, and then you can use it for sleep tracking. There's one app, I think, that you can use for sleep tracking. But this one, I don't think you'll have to charge as much. So you will be able to. I'll be able to know whether I'm sleeping or not, how well I'm sleeping. I kind of know whether I'm sleeping or not.
Princess Leia, you gave us a very good, very unbiased review of an Android watch being used on an iPhone.
I did.
And people actually noticed that your review was very closely aligned when we gave it a redemption with Jason Howell. So I think you can give us a really good, unbiased review of this device. Tell me, what will you be? You're going to be hooking up to your iPhone. How are you going to run this to its paces?
Well, I'm going to run. I do a lot of running. So I'm going to use it for training, for running. I'm going to use it for sleep tracking to see what's happening in the night while I'm sleeping. And I'm just going to use it on a daily basis for health and see how it compares to the Apple Watch in that sense. Because the Apple Watch I really do love for all the health features, but there's a battery issue. They fixed it a little bit, but the heart rate sensor runs constantly, and then sometimes you don't make it to the end of the day, which means you don't have a watch at the end of the day, which can be frustrating. So I'm looking for something that's maybe better than the Apple Watch.
Well, Megan, we look forward to your full review. We'll have you come back in a couple of weeks and see how it measured up. What are the pros and the cons? Until then, the Microsoft Band 2 may be the droid you're looking for. That doesn't actually match up really well, but you're here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. When we come back, we've got another unboxing. This one is from Papa Laporte himself. He got his brand new Surface Book, the much anticipated first notebook ever from Microsoft. But before we do that, let's go ahead and thank the first sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy. Brian, I got to bring you in on this, because the two of us, being on know-how, we like to make things, and that means we got to have tools, right?
We break things a lot too, Padre.
Yeah, about making things, breaking things, they're really two sides of the same coin. This is the Business Repair Kit, and the name says it's all. It's everything you need to kickstart your repair business or to take your tech bag to the next level. It's one of the best iFixit values you can get, because it includes their entire inventory. The ProTec Toolkit. It's the iFixit standard for repair toolkits. That's 70 tools to help you dish sweet repair justice. The magnetic project mat, so you'll never misplace your screws and knickknacks. The portable anti-static mat, so you don't blow up your components. The eye opener, the ProTec screwdriver kit, heavy-duty suction cups, a digital multimeter, lots of extra plastic opening tools, cleaning tools, and they're all neatly organized into a custom iFixit messenger bag. Now, the best part of this is, of course, the tools. I love the tools, but it's the repair guides that go along with being part of the iFixit family. You need to know what to do with your tools. So if you want to replace the battery in your iPhone, if you want to fix your Microsoft Red Ring of Death on your Xbox, if you want to replace the cracked screen on your laptop, iFixit has you covered. It's the all-in-one kit to kickstart that repair business and your tech kit in a single place. Now, all of these tools, this giant bundle, would cost you about $350 if you bought them all separately, and you wouldn't even get the messenger bag. But right now, because iFixit loves you, they're going to give you the business repair kit for $249. That's $100 less than buying everything individually. Buy it for yourself, for an employee, or for that special loved geek in your family. And best of all, iFixit has guides and tutorials to help you put all those tools to use. Fix your friend's cracked iPad screen, swap that battery, and do it with confidence when you go with iFixit. You can fix it, and iFixit can help. When you visit iFixit.com/twit, you can save $10 off any purchase of $50 or more by entering the code before you buy at checkout. Again, that's iFixit.com/twit, and use the code before you buy to save $10. And we thank iFixit for their support of Before You Buy. Let's get straight to it. Leo Laporte got a special package in the mail, something that a lot of people have been envying. It is the very first notebook created by Microsoft, the Surface Book. Let's take a look.
So we're going to do a little unboxing. Not a big fan of the unboxing, but what the heck? This is a product that really there's a lot of interest about. And it has a unique look and does some unique things. And I thought, well, it'd be kind of fun to unbox, ta-da, the Microsoft Surface Book. It's also Microsoft's first laptop. You know, they've been making Surface Pros, which are tablets with attached keyboards, for a couple of years now, but they've never made a laptop before. And so there's some interest there, too. And, you know, just how does Microsoft package it? They've certainly spent a lot of time at their event aiming at the MacBook Pro, comparing it in price and speed to the MacBook Pro. You know, that's not merely because they see Apple as a competitor. It's also because they don't see Apple as a competitor, and they're not going to offend the OEMs like HP and Dell and Lenovo by saying, hey, this is better than a Mac. Oh, I've already damaged the box with that tape. This is an interesting box, isn't it? Look at this. It has kind of like a lip all the way around it. Johnny Ive and Steve Jobs worked really hard on Apple's boxes. They wanted to make the box unboxing experience, the first your first experience of the new hardware, something very special. And everybody's since followed. This is very heavy cardboard. And there it is. Bonk. The Surface Book. And this was something else Apple really created. The idea that the first thing you'd see as you open this, you'd be presented with this like fine jewelry. Oh, it's very Apple-y. There's the stylus. Here's the book itself. Let's open that first. And, of course, the most interesting thing about the Surface Book is, where can I show that to? The hinge. And there it is. And, you know, people said, oh, the keys don't touch the screen. And, you know, I can verify that they don't. See right through it there. Some people have, Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley have had this for a couple of weeks, review units. Said that these sliders on the bottom don't really give it much stability, at least in your lap. So let's open it up for the first time. So I didn't notice any special stuff with the hinge. Let's see that again. Yeah. Some people have said because there's so much battery in the top so that it can be a standalone tablet, that it's a little top heavy. You know, It's no less top heavy than any other laptop, given this hinge. I think the hinge was critical. Without that special hinge, I think it would fall over, frankly. I don't think there's anything on the screen. All right, let's get the rest of this open here. Here's the pencil. I'm sorry. Did I say pencil? Pen. It's a pen with the eraser. And, yeah, it looks just like a pen. Now, it's magnetized, I presume, there, so I can just put it right here, right? Oh, it's not. That's not on very firmly. I thought it was going to have a real strong magnet. That is kind of not. I can see how people would complain about that. What about the bottom? Oh, I was in the wrong spot. Oh, that's much better. That'll annoy people. It's great for annoying people at meetings. That's actually much better. All right, thank you. Yeah, I was having it up here. It still works up here, but this is where it's supposed to go, and that's actually fairly firm. All right, let's turn her on, shall we? I guess that's a good way to face. Where's the on-off button?
It's on the edge.
So there's the eject button. USB, not blue, although it is USB 3, so they decided to go with their own color scheme. SD card. The cast aluminum makes it feel a lot like a MacBook. What's that? Don't know. Must be the charger, right? Let's get the plug out and see.
It's a weird color.
It is a weird gray, isn't it? It's very matte. It's stealthy. It's an odd gray. It's like a light titanium. Yeah, it's very matte. So that's the connector, yeah. That is a weird connector, but I guess anybody who has a Surface will recognize it because it's the same connector as on the Surface. And that's what that weird port is for this. You want to give me some power? All right. I probably don't need it, but... So that's a cute little plug. They're just showing. We got style. We got designers. We got designers in Redmond. Johnny Ive doesn't own all the designers. So does it go in? Whoa. It's got a life of its own. It seems like it's lightly magnetized. All right. Well, very nice. I have no on-off switch. Is it that? Maybe it's that.
Because it should be in the tablet part.
It's got to be with the tablet, right? Yeah. It's not marked, but let's press it and see what happens. Yay! That was the on-off switch. Surface. Boy, that is a very Mac feeling, isn't it? The way that starts up. So this is the first boot. Is this cable? Yeah, I think it's going to be positioned either way. Hi there. Boy, that is a high-res screen. Let's get a few things out of the way. Okay, thing one. Thing one doesn't work yet. That works. English, Pacific Time, Francais. Next. I think it's very natural. I have to pair it. Press and hold the top button for 5 seconds to enter pairing mode. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Pairing was successful. Try these features later. Single click to OneNote. I really like that because I feel like the stylus and the whole idea of a touchscreen is very OneNote centric. And of course, that's what the Surface Pro was, really almost a OneNote machine, right? Double click to screenshot. I like that. Click and hold to activate Cortana. Okay, not doing any of that yet. It says try these features later. I should read them. Okay. Wow, the SBI surveillance fan is strong with this one. Why is that the number one Wi-Fi access spot? All right, I'm going to go to Twit production. Same problem that the Acer S7 first generation had with the lighted keys. And right away, that's a disappointment to me. When the key lights are off, very legible. But in this environment, as soon as the key lights come on, I can't read the keys anymore. That's so weird. See? Thank you. That really helps.
It does. It actually does.
It does. It's great when the keys are dark. This is the S7 does this too, which is you don't want the keys to come on if there's any light, because now what's happened is the key that the letters are blending in. You might even be able to see this on camera. The letters blend in. See, that's fine. But as soon as you get like at this angle, you can no longer read the keycaps. When it's dark, they work great.
Until they fade.
Yeah. All right. Now, I know that Steve Gibson's going to yell at me, but I'm using the express settings because I don't care if Microsoft knows who I am. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. We're setting up things. Okay, this is the long process.
We'll have a full review from Leo Laporte after he gets a chance to play with the Microsoft Book to see exactly how it measures up against the other notebooks in his arsenal. Now, when we come back, we've got a special dock for the very few people who can use it. But before we do that, let's thank the second sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy, and it's the Ring Video Doorbell. Now, if you've seen any of my shows, you know what the Ring Video Doorbell is. It's not just a product. It's peace of mind. Now, here's what's inside the kit. This thing is wonderful because it allows us to basically have a self-install in a box. It gives you all the bits and pieces you need, from the drill bit to the little screwdriver, even the level so you can make sure it's installed properly. Now, the way it works is quite simple. This device is not just a doorbell. I mean, we all know how doorbells work. You push the button and it'll make a nice chime and tell people that there's someone at the front door. But it also has the ability to hook up to local power so that it can keep it charged forever or to be charged via a USB port, a micro USB port in the back. Now, once the Ring Video Doorbell is charged up, what it does is absolutely spectacular. This has a motion sensor so that if anyone comes into that front courtyard within range of the Ring Video Doorbell, you have the ability to see who's there. And if they push the button, you can start a two-way conversation. Imagine being able to speak with the UPS delivery man and telling him exactly where to put your package, or finding out if someone is trying to case your house to see if you're home. I bought one of these for my parents. And the reason why I bought it for them is because I wanted to make sure that they were safe. I wanted to make sure that someone wasn't checking to see if they were up at the community center, if they weren't exercising, and then they'd break into the house. That has happened so many times in their neighborhood. I wanted to have a little extra protection for the people I love. And that's exactly what the Ring Video Doorbell does for you. Why not try the device that Time Magazine named as one of the best devices of 2014? Now, right now, because Ring likes the Twit Army, they're going to give you free FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/beforeyoubuy. That's ring.com/beforeyoubuy for free FedEx shipping. With Ring, you're always home. And we thank Ring for their support of Before You Buy. Now, let's take a look at a new product. This is a dock that allows you to turn your Android device into a parkable, usable television system. We've seen this. This was a parting shot from CES 2015, and we also showed this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. This is the SlimPort Nano console. Now, right now, it's an Indiegogo project, and Brian's going to bring up the link in just a bit. It starts at $34 all the way up to $54 based on what kind of controller you want to get. If you want this is a Bluetooth controller. It's basically a mouse. It's $34. If you want the gaming console so that you can play games on your Android device, it's $54. It's actually very, very well designed. Look at how they did this. This has a base. Now, this base is not just a place to put the Nano console. It also gives you a lip so that you can lean up your phone or your tablet, and it gives it a place to be parked when you come home. Now, the cool thing about this is you can leave this plugged into your TV, and it has an HDMI pass-through, so you could run your cable box or your Bluetooth player straight through the Nano console, and it will only take over when you have an Android device actually plugged in. On the top, this nice little remote, this gives you a way to control your Android device for a distance. Go ahead and switch over to the input, and you'll see how this works. This works just like a mouse. Unfortunately, it's not multi-touch. It's single-touch, so you can't swipe. You can't two-finger scroll this. You have to click and scroll. But the utility that you get from having a sit-back experience is still quite good. Personally, I think I probably would have gone with a gamepad because I see myself using this as a place to play games whenever I want to. Now, also, if you are going to be running things like Netflix or Hulu or YouTube, this is a really good way for you to be able to get functionality without having to give up on comfort. Let me run through some of the pros and cons here. I really, really like the fact that I have a docking station, something that will charge and connect at the same time. I love their design for Bluetooth controllers. Again, I would probably opt to get the gamer pack rather than the standard Bluetooth controller, but it's actually very well designed. I also like the price. $34 to $54 is actually incredibly reasonable to have something that will both charge and connect your device at the same time. However, there is one major con, one that cannot be overlooked, and that is the compatibility is horrible. Brian, bring this up. These are the compatible devices. In fact, these are the only compatible devices. If you don't have one of the devices on this list, it does not support SlimPort. It's basically limited to a couple of Amazon, a couple of Acer devices, strangely enough, a BlackBerry phone, a Fujitsu tablet, and a bunch of LG. If you're into the LG ecosystem, you probably do have SlimPort. But if you don't have one of these devices, this dock will do nothing for you. Now, that's the biggest problem. We've seen this before. In order for a new standard to get the critical mass, it has to attract devices. But in order to attract devices, it needs that critical mass. I would say that the SlimPort does have a future. There is definitely a future for a connectivity standard that gives you this kind of functionality that allows me to dock and charge at the same time. But unfortunately, until we get that critical mass, this is going to be a buy for anyone who has one of those very few devices on the list. And for everybody else, it's going to have to be a don't buy. If you are interested in getting one of these, go ahead and check the links on our page, and we'll make sure that you can get into the Indiegogo campaign. I think there's only a few days left if you find yourself on the list. Well, that does it for this episode of Before You Buy. We want to thank all of our reviewers, especially to Jason Howell, to Leo Laporte, to Megan Maroney, or should I say Princess Leia, and to you. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have a Before You Buy, so we want to make sure you can go to our show page at twit.tv/BYB and get any episode to find the technology that you're thinking about buying. Also, big thanks to everyone in the studio who makes this show possible, to Lisa and to Leo, of course, to Carson, our super producer, and RTD, Brian Cranky Hippo Burnett. Brian, can you tell the folks where they can find you?
They can find me doing a show with you on Thursdays called Know How, and you can follow me on Twitter at Cranky_Hippo.
Fantastic. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballester, just reminding you, you gotta watch before you buy.